The book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. One of my favorite parts of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jekah, his utterance, this man declared to Ethel and Ucal. Surely, I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven, or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? If you know, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted to me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg Long, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. When you pray, what do you pray for? As a matter of fact, if you could pray for anything, and you can, what would you ask for? This is probably one of the most intelligent prayers I have ever heard or read by a man. Okay? That is, and he starts in verse 2. With a statement, and this whole first part of this proverb is, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. He starts with the statement, surely I'm more stupid than any man. Now, if you could describe yourself, would you describe yourself that way? That word stupid, of course, it's not derogatory. It means ignorant. And what he's saying is, I'm more ignorant, or I'm more uneducated, or unlearned than anyone else. If I were to compare myself to anyone, I would be less in my wisdom. So opposite of what human nature is, isn't it? I mean, do we really consider ourselves the worst of the worst, or the lowest of the low? Do we really, in this crowd, can you look around? Let me look around at this group. You think there's some folks here you're probably a little sharper than? Keep it to yourself. And I mean, let's just be honest. When we're in a crowd, don't we look around and think, well, I'm glad I'm not that guy. But Agur here says, I'm the most unlearned, the most ignorant of the ignorant. and we think we have the answers. No, we don't. The difference between this guy and us is he realizes he doesn't have the answers. That when it comes to intelligence or knowing which direction to go and what he should do and what he needs, he just doesn't know it. That's why he says, I'm more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. Neither learned wisdom. Now it gets even more interesting. He said, not only am I ignorant, But that word, that phrase, that as it's presented there, having learned wisdom, literally means unteachable. So he's backing up, talking about his ignorance, and then he says, and God, I can't even learn anything. I don't get it. Do you ever feel like you should be a lot farther than you are as far as your what you know, and your intelligence? I look at the Bible and I think, boy, I've been studying the Bible forever and every day. It's like, why didn't I know that? Why didn't I see this before? You know, and it just, and so he backs up and he says, not only am I lacking, but I'm not learning. And not only am I not learning, but I don't have knowledge of the Holy One. Of course, he's talking about God there. I'm not capable of understanding who God is and what God is. And then he begins to ask questions. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who is it that is so great that he resides in heaven? Who is it that has gathered the wind in his fist? Now, get this picture that he's painting. God in heaven, on his throne, in control of all things, containing the wind in his hand. Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who set the waters where they are? And they stay where they are. How can you understand that? God, I don't understand all that you are. But then in verse 5 and 6, he shares what he does know. He says, every word of God is pure. Meaning, that word pure, it means to refine as you would gold. So every word has been tested or refined and is absolutely without impurity. Now imagine if you would, he's trying to wrap his mind around a God that not only holds the wind in his hands, but a God that never speaks a word that is tarnished. Can you imagine never speaking a word that is tarnished? How many times have you spoke up and thought afterwards, boy, I should have kept my mouth closed? God never does that. He never speaks anything wrong. Only truth, 100%. And not only is the Word of God 100% pure, God is a shield or a defense to those who trust Him. Where else could you go to find the refuge that you seek? And then he closes this part and says, and oh, by the way, don't add to His words. You won't make God a liar, you'll be the liar. Because He's always right. Now he's just built this picture of who He is. I'm ignorant. Of His handicap. I can't learn. I don't understand who God is. I can't get my mind around it. And the whole idea there is to get the point across that he's helpless. Absolutely helpless. And as you read this, when he calls himself ignorant, well, you know, you might think, well, this is a big pity party. No, he's just establishing a true view of who he really is. And here's the part that the whole thing hinges on. Because he's helpless, he does not know what's good for him. He doesn't know what's best. And so therefore, in verse 7, he says, because I am who I am, and I am the helpless guy that I am, verse 7, because of all that, two things I request of you, and he's talking to God. Deprive me not before I die. Number one, here's where the message means something. Number one, remove falsehood and lies far from me. I believe that the King James there says remove vanity and lies. And the Hebrew word actually means vanity. Okay? Vanity is, of course, worthlessness. And of course, we know what lies are, right? Falsehood. So his request is saying, Lord, keep me away from or keep vanity or worthlessness and lies away from me. Literally what he's asking for is, Lord, don't let me waste my life. Have you ever felt like you're wasting your life? Where you back and say, what's the point? Why do I even try? He's saying, Lord, there are a lot of things that would draw us away. Lord, don't let me be deceived by the lies that would pull me away and cause me to waste my life. I mean, consider our lifestyle right now. What is the most important thing in the lives of people? Work? You know, and many of you will get up in the morning and make meetings and deadlines and be very, very busy and work a full day and you get to the end of the day. Do you ever think, boy, when I get this project done, it's going to get better? Have you ever thought that? And that's not just work. That's just kind of life. I was talking to my best parents yesterday, and we were visiting with them, and we said, y'all come see us. And they said, well, one more week, and we got a couple things to do, and get this out of the way, and then we will. And I said, no, you won't, because there'll be something else waiting on the other side when you get this taken care of. And we're all the same way. The raising of our families. Have you noticed how important it seems to be to have our kids involved in everything today? And you know, whether it's sports or school clubs, and the one thing we're sacrificing is things like home life. You know, most families aren't home enough to have a home life. Even our young people that are here tonight, I want to tell you something. Those things that are so very important to you right now that you think you can't live without and you've got to be involved in. And one of these days, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And one of these days, you're going to share with your kids what you were doing when you were a teenager, a young person. And you're going to share with them and they're going to look at you and think, you're the most uncool parent ever. You're just old-fashioned. Not nearly as important as you thought it was. My point, all that. Here's the question. Does it really matter? Everything that demands your time, everything that takes your time, does it really matter? Solomon had it figured out in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 when he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When this life is through, there's one thing that's going to matter. That's why Agur wrote, Lord, keep me from lies and worthlessness. Don't let me waste this life. And then he builds on that even farther when he said, and give me neither poverty. Now remember, this is a prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted to me. That word allotted means to limit. You know what he's praying for? God, limit me. Limit me, God. I prayed for a lot of things, but to be honest with you, as I was reading and preparing this, I thought, you know, I can't really look back to where I prayed, God, limit me. Don't give me too little, he prays, that I might be poor and steal and curse you because I lack. Oh, but Lord, and here's the hard one. Oh, but Lord, don't give me too much that I deny your name for lack of need. Did you know that there's a place in life where I and you are at your very best? There's a point in life where you are at your very most productive, a place where I'm praying and I'm praying and fellowshipping and communing with God daily. Yeah. And there's a place in life where I'm seeking God on a daily basis and I'm trusting God when I don't understand. And there's a place where I'm serving God. place where I'm studying God's Word faithfully. A place where my relationship with God is at its very peak. If I have more, those things suffer. If I have less, those things suffer. But boy, when God gives me the food that's allotted to me, it puts me in that position where I am trusting, I am seeking, I am praying, I'm at my very best. And that's why I asked you in the beginning, what do you pray for? I love this guy's prayer. Lord, I don't want to be rich. Lord, I don't want to be poor. Lord, I want you to give me the things that put me in that position where I am the most productive and the most right relationship with you. Did you know you have that point in your life? Isn't that what we should all seek? That Lord, I think I probably spend too much time praying for success, praying for God provide whatever I need, instead of saying, God, I really am not smart enough to realize what I need. And God, I really don't know the answers to this life. But God, I know you do. Therefore, God, feed me with food. Give me things in this life that will put me at that point where I am most productive as your child. Let that be our prayer. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. He gave His life so you could have eternal life. But you have to receive Him. The choice is yours. He'll not grab you by the ear and walk you down the aisle, drag you down the aisle. It's whosoever shall call. That's your responsibility. So tonight, if you're not a child of God, I want to ask you, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? He paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. Will you come? Maybe you're here and you know you're a child of God, but priorities have gotten a little messed up. You know, maybe you're one of those, Lord, make me rich, make me successful, make me powerful. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you're at that point where you're the most valuable, productive servant of God that you can possibly be. Whatever your spiritual need is, this is your opportunity to make the commitment that God leads you to make. The altar is open. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. And the reminder that, Lord, you know exactly, Lord, what we need. Where that we can lead that life of sweet communion and fellowship with you. Where we can lead that life of productivity in your kingdom. Lord, make us not rich nor poor. But feed us with food that is allotted to us. We love you and we thank you and now pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.